Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome everybody again to our Anti-Pattern Podcast here from Mannheim, from our podcast studio in the MuffinX Startup Center. Together with me is Christian again, and today is going to be about the industry, manufacturing. And the reason why we do this podcast episode is actually I've been to Hannover Messe last week, and I wanted to share a couple of observations and wanted to discuss with Christian how far did we come with things like digital twin, Industry 4.0.
Oh, Industry 4.0. That's a very interesting topic.
It's a while ago, right?
Yeah, it's a while ago that this topic came up. And I remember it was 2011 when this was first coined. And it was exactly more or less the beginning of our scientific career.
True.
Yeah. My first research project at the university was about, in the field or off from the budget of Industry 4.0.
Well, this is where you got the budget from.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it followed the whole time, the whole career, so to say. And if you remember, 2016, I guess.
Yeah, true.
We had this one article in the Computer and Automation magazine, which is still cited
from time to time.
And it was, nearly 10 years ago now that we already made thoughts about type and instance, digital master, digital thread. We didn't call it digital thread.
Not yet.
Yeah. But that was what we had in mind.
Yeah, true. Back then this was, and if I remember correctly, this was our first joint article in a journal, right? And back then we described how the digital master, which is a concept that's pretty old, right? This goes back to the IVA project, like 20, 25 years ago, something like this, right? The digital master that basically holds together all the information necessary to define a product, right? From a development perspective, right? This is the digital master. And we were thinking about how does that, relate to the digital twin, right? And we wanted to bring them together. And we didn't call it digital thread, as you said, right? We said that needs to be somehow connected, right?
Yeah. But not only the instance in the sense of an engineering instance, it was also already about serialization about IoT in the end, which was also a term which came up in this time.
Yeah. I do remember this quite well, actually. And so the reason for the podcast again is what actually ended up in the real world of those concepts, right? There was a lot of talking about this stuff, right? Question is, how much of it was actually implemented? And to be frank, not so much, right? So I wanted to share one observation, and this is not this year's Hannover Messe. This is the Hannover Messe 2 years ago, 2023, right? And I was together with a PhD student. We went over the fair, and we looked at, different exhibitions and all that. And we came by a booth of, I guess it was ZVEE, right? Whatever that is in English.
Central Association for Electrical. In Germany for Electrical and Information, whatever.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. So we went by and they showed us their cabinet, right, of the different electrical components. And they said, oh, see here, there's a QR code. I said, oh, nice, there's a QR code. Really cool. And I took my phone, right, and use the QR code to then, come to a link to a web server. And on the other end of that web server, or what I did see then is basically some product information, right? Today, people start talking about the digital product passport, right? And those kind of things, or the nameplate and whatever, what have you. And that was there. And I was raising the question, so it's nice that you build a QR code and you put it in your cabinet. And it's nice that you have a web server providing that initial information. But the actual question is,
Does it come there?
Yeah, where's the data coming from? Right. And it would be a complete nightmare to say every instance that you produce, right? Every car that leaves for cars, it's maybe not even so bad, but think about it like sensors or something really small, diodes or whatever it is, right? Depending if you serialize it, to be honest. But anyway, so it would be a nightmare to bring that data up there to the web server manually, right?
Yeah.
Someone sitting in the back office and then uploading stuff, right?
But to be honest, we have seen these kind of workplaces where somebody copies something from the left to the right monitor. In the end, this is the exact correct question when we are talking about a digital threat. Where does the information come from, where does it go? And we are pretty convinced that the concept of a RDBMS-based PLM monolith will not do that.
Yeah, it's just not because feasible to do it in such a architecture anymore.
Right? Exactly. So even if you have connected all the single silos in your PLM monolith with RDBMS base, you would have across the whole product lifecycle, you would have join over join over join over join over join. And this is what we see in our research now, what we are building up, that it is a graph and it is so easy to hop from one node to the other node. But in RDBMS, this is real work.
Right, exactly. So we have been talking about why graph databases and potentially graph databases in memory are stronger here, right? So there's already, you know, some information in the other episodes about this as well. But then it also comes to AI.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And we also talked about it already in one of the former episodes that, AI likes structured information, especially when it reads from it. And the next generation of AI is about writing to this graph.
To this knowledge graph, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And creating and so knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. And the back and forth, right? Reading, as you said, and also writing, right? Both in both directions. And so that the knowledge graph that you can set up with, you know, a graph database, a digital threat system, right? Which is basically the implementation or used for implementing it. And that is providing the necessary foundation to actually make use of AI in an industrial context. This is what we strongly believe. And when you read, you know, there are so many blogs out there, right? And so many people talking about this stuff. There is this term product knowledge graph, describing that product data needs to be seen as a graph, right? And with a lot of semantics, right? And this is what you call product knowledge graph. And also you hear the term digital threat as a service. Related, not exactly the same if you think about it, right? Because the as a service is basically more pointing to the business model, right? That you can, you know, get it from the outside as a service.
To the tool,
Don't have to implement it yourself. And as a service basically means you usually would say you pay by subscription, right? So it kind of points into the direction of, you know, what is the business model behind it. And but digital threat and knowledge graph is not exactly the same thing, right? Because digital threat is what you need and the product knowledge graph is, you know, a way to implement it, right? You could do it differently. We usually blame RDBMS for being so slow. If you are a screw manufacturer, something very easy. Oh, I don't want to blame the screw manufacturer. So excuse me, right? But uncomplex products, right? Which product is really uncomplex, right? But then it would potentially work, right? But if the product is getting a little bit more complex, then you need something more than just an SQL database, right? So this is the reason why we are starting talking about this. And these are great terms, right? Product knowledge graph, digital threat as a service. But we ourselves, we decided to position ourselves in that context a little bit differently, right? And that basically brings me to one additional, and I said we actually want to do a couple of book recommendations, right? This is the book I read on the way with the German train, which takes usually longer than you expect. And I read that book, Fusion Strategy, from Vijay and Venkat. Both have Indian names that I refuse to pronounce. I'm sorry for that. But the book is really, really good. So they talk about how real-time data and AI will power the industrial future, right? And they talk about the implementation of different graphs, right? Yep. There is the social graph, right? Facebook. There's the influence graph, Twitter. There is the hospitality graph. Can you guess what it is?
Airbnb.
good guess, right? It's Airbnb, right? So, and they came up with, you know, a couple of those graphs that are used as a service, you know, in the internet, right? And I said, well, then, okay, let's position ourselves in that list, right? There is a table in it. And I said, okay, let's extend the list by one. And that one is elevating patterns. And we are about to implement the so-called industrial graph, right? We said we want to call it industrial graph for now, right? Not product knowledge graph. And
but this is exactly the discussion between us too in the last days. How do we call that baby that we're working on?
Yeah.
And but no matter how we call it, we know it gets a substantial piece of work to implement this and to get this working.
Right, get this working. And that means money, investment. Right?
In the end, yes.
In the end, yes. Right. So, and if you hear about or talk about investment and money that needs to be invested in something, Germany is not in the best shape in the moment, right, from an economical perspective. And you hear huge numbers.
Yeah.
If you read the newspapers, if you, you know, watch the news, you hear numbers, 500 billion in infrastructure investment from the federal government. You hear additional billions, also roughly 300 to 500. The exact number is not so much, you know, known yet for defense. Right?
And that's only Germany.
And that's only Germany. Then you have additional 800 billion for defense from the European budget. Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of money flowing, you know, to investments, basically. And what we are a little bit worried about, I'm not saying, guys, give us money, we want to build something, right? This is not that easy, right? What we are a little bit worried about is that that money flows again into monoliths. You know, if they, if there is digitalization projects, you know, that need to be done, and they take that huge amount of money and they just, you know, use it to spend on, you know, 30 years old architectures that will, you know, help a little, but they will not achieve the huge innovation potential that is actually out there if you use the newest cloud native technology, right? So this is what we are a little bit worried about. It, in other words, it must flow into innovation, right?
Exactly. But yeah, and on the one hand, of course, the 500 billion are for infrastructure. And you could say, oh yeah, let's build streets, schools, whatever.
Right.
We know how this works. But the interesting thing would be if you're investing in streets, in train, railways. Why not thinking about also about innovative systems, innovative street systems, rail systems? And therefore, you have to question yourself, are my old monolith tools the right tools to handle and develop those kind of modern systems?
Those modern systems that have a heavy portion of software in them, software heavy, right?
Because
of all the smartness that you need in those kind of systems, right? That's the one point. And the other point, as you said, is can you develop the next generation of, you know, more complex systems with old school tools?
Right? Yeah. So a pretty, it would be pretty nice if one part of these trillion of euros would also go into modernization and more digitalization of the industry. And this also will help to gain some speed in the sense of AI. Because, yeah, we need to bring AI in the industrial context, that's clear. But we still doubt that it will work with the old monoliths.
Exactly. And that brings me to this year's Hannover Messe, right? Because I, as I said, I've been there last week. And what I did see is actually, to a large extent, nothing new, right? As we said, there was a lot of talking about, you know, all these buzzwords. And what I did see is in the exhibition, right, what they were actually exhibiting, the vendors, right? The same the same stuff, right? Digital twin, QR code, AAS, right? All that kind of stuff, plus AI, right? So the new thing is basically AI, and the question is, now what? You add AI to all of this stuff, and is it really working out in reality? And is anybody asking the question, where should actually the data be coming from to train the AI?
Yeah, right? And there we are back again to the question, how to connect data that is spread up across silos, closed silos, to be honest. And this
is very basically the biggest pain point that industrial companies with a digitalization strategy have is data is spread, product data is spread among so many different tools, right? And it's encapsulated, they cannot access it really, right? And from our perspective, there are a lot of pain points in the industry, but this is one of the biggest ones.
You have to have the knowledge available to learn. So in the end, you have to free the data that you have in your closed silos.
Right.
Because without that, you will not get many advancements through the industrial graph. Yeah, you can have some pre-trained thing, and the tools hopefully will work out very good. But yeah, if the AI should work in your sense in for your products, you have to free your data.
Yeah, you have to
at least internally to the AI.
Exactly, exactly. So you have to free your data, but still you have to protect it in terms of IP protection. Exactly. Right? It goes without saying, but that is important. And I guess what we can say, basically speaking, is this is really good that we talk about AI, and it seems to be really innovative, right? It's one of those hypes of the last 2-3 decades that is really lasting to some extent.
Yeah, right? I would say it's not even a hype like it was in blockchain or Industry 4.0.
Right.
It was really influencing everybody's life.
Yeah,
and already. We see it from day to day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's still a hype, right? Because everybody kind of, interprets his own, thinking into it or wants to use it for something that is really one of his problems, right? But it is lasting, right? And it actually changed a lot of things that we do. Blockchain did not change a single thing that I'm doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not exactly same for me.
Yeah, I'm not owning Bitcoin, right? So, this is definitely true. So in summary, what can we say? So the industry, as we know it, has been around for years and years and years, and the concepts that we are discussing, the new innovative concepts, right? Digital twin, digital master, which is pretty old, digital thread, the asset administration shell, right? Mm-hmm. All these kinds of things are there. They are on paper, written down. It's, there is this, German, it's not a philosopher, it's a poet, right? Goethe. And he said, words have been exchanged enough. It's time to act, right? And this is what we feel about, the German industry, but not just the German one, right? The manufacturing industry in general is, guys, we have been talking so much about this stuff. Why don't we just start doing it? Like, exactly. It's the time to do it.
Yep.
And to really do it, AI, you can use it, of course. It will bring a lot of efficiency. It will bring a lot of additional innovation. But we first have to do something, and that is free the data from its silos, bring it together in a industrial graph, right? I like the word. Into an industrial graph to actually make use of it, right? And then things will, this is what we're assuming, right? This will help to actually realize those concepts that have been around for so, so many years.
Yeah. And just to add one thing, why the term product knowledge framework is not so in favor in between us two is that some people think product knowledge framework is only the knowledge about the product itself, but it's mainly, or not mainly, but additionally also about the production process of the product itself. So we have this classic system of systems
scenario.
What's a product for the one is the production machine for the other one.
Right.
And industrial graph combines both views.
Yep.
And more.
Yeah, and it's broader. Yeah, this is broader. This is why we came up with it. So, in other words, stay tuned for reading about industrial graph a lot, right? We will use that term for at least for this year. Let's see what the other years will bring. And so what we are about to do is build the industrial graph with our digital thread system. This is at least the plan. And with that being said, thank you very much again for tuning in. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, again, like, comment, and subscribe to our podcast. And see you then next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.